I first came up here, way back in 1973, it was to go gold mining and prospecting. My partners and I came up from Minnesota. We ended up on some claims up in the 40-mile mining district right up against the Canadian border. Ended up going up a little creek called Younger Creek. We ended up on there because the old-timer said there was nothing up there. We tried a couple other places, did some prospecting, didn't find anything. So we were just kind of looking for a place to camp out and enjoy Alaska. We got digging around, and wonder we found some gold. And we got a little more serious about this. Instead of just panning, we were doing some sluicing, running a long tom and so on. And then one day, found a nugget. Pretty exciting. Back then, the gold was running about $150 an ounce, so it wasn't as much as it is today, but, you know, today it's worth about $1,000. A little bit more, you hang it on a chain, you might get more than that. But, well, that's the way it is with jewelry. But, you know, it was exciting, you know, and most of the gold on Younger Creek wasn't found in the upper gravels, it was all on the bedrock, and so we'd be searching through the bedrock and you'd find this stuff, you know, and it was a thrill because, you know, you could take money right out of the ground. And so, you know, we went on and we kept digging, and that gives you, when you find something, you get more impetus to go out and look some more. So we kept looking. One day we found that. 1.5 ounces of gold, 1.11 ounces of gold. Biggest nugget we took out of Younger Creek for all the 30 years or so we mined up there. It's thrilling, you know, when you could pluck that up out of the sluice box, you know, and you look at that and you're thinking about all the bacon and beans that it could buy for you. And so, you know, gold is precious for what it can give you. It has it's pretty in itself, you know, it's nice and shiny and stuff, but it's what led me to use this as an illustration is because a few days before I started writing this message, I came across on a devotional there from Thomas Smith's in the Straight Paths from Psalm 67. A couple verses, and he had some commentary, and I went in and I started reading this psalm, and I got excited just like I did when I would find those nuggets in the gravel on Younger Creek. Because, you know, the value of the gold is what makes it precious, but, you know, the value of God's word is very, very precious too. And, you know, when you go in and when you can take from this book something that's so precious, and that, you know, it's one thing, you know, that most of the gold I ever got off of Younger Creek, sold it and it's gone, you know. But the preciousness that you can get and I've gotten from God's word, it lingers on and on and on. And you know, the price of gold, it goes up and down. But you know, God's word, it remains one of the most precious substances in all existence. There's nothing like it. And, you know, all the gold that come out of the creeks over the years couldn't buy me or anybody one moment in salvation. But, you know, of all the gold that came out of the creeks, like I say, out of Younger Creek, it was pretty good money. It doesn't compare to the gift of salvation that I received in August of 1982 when God sent a man from Black Road Baptist Church to go 320 miles from here, last 5 miles, driving up a four-wheel drive trail up a creek to get to Younger Creek where we were mining to open up this book and share with me the gospel message. And then I received the priceless, precious gift of salvation. And so, just wanted to, as an introduction, I wanted you to be thinking on that. And, you know, Hasn't there been some times when you found nuggets like that in God's Word, when you come across something in the Bible that just gets a hold of your heart? If it hasn't, I hope that it does, and I hope for myself that I'll keep searching the Word and to get in there and to dig out those truths, because, you know, it's like they say, gold is where you find it. Well, if you want to know Bible truth and if you want spiritual blessing, as we're going to talk about here, it's going to come through knowing and following and believing and obeying and applying God's Word. So let's pick up. It's just a short little devotional tonight, but we'll see what the Lord has here. The Bible says in Psalm 67, verse 1, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the end of the earth shall fear him. Let's go to the Lord again, and then we'll... Wonderful Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can be before you tonight. Lord, I thank you for how you reached down and touched my heart with this matter from this psalm and for being such a blessing to me. Lord, that you even see me for who I am and what I've done, and Lord, you still love me and you've brought blessing to my life. Let us know and understand, Lord, that you want to bring blessing to all of our lives and all the lives of the people of this world. And Lord, that each and every individual can be blessed in accordance with how we hear and obey your truth. Lord, give us a heart to know the truth, and to live the truth, and share the truth with those around us. I humbly pray in Christ's name, amen. You may have noticed there the word bless shows up a number of times in this short psalm. And the words bless, blessed, and blessing, and other related words occur over 500 times in God's Word. And so obviously God had something that he wanted to show us about the blessings that he brings upon the world, and also how that he wants us to be a blessing to him. And sometimes what I do when I look up a word like that is to look at the rule of first occurrence, where you first find that word mentioned. And so I found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 22, on the fifth day of creation, that God said, in speaking about animal life, and said, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowls multiply in the earth. And then on the sixth day, to the first man and the first woman, it says, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The picture that I want to pass on to you is that God blesses his creation and his people when he bestows on them some gifts, whether they're physical or spiritual. And Brother Thomas Smith, in his Straight Paths, he says that word bless can mean to know the favor of God. Now, who would not want that? To know the favor of God. To have God, to know that God is watching out for you personally. And it says there, as he starts this, David wrote this in this psalm, and he said, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. We need God's blessings for our sakes, and we need God's blessings also for the sakes of others. because I want you to see and understand as we get into the little bit of the depth of what David was writing about under the inspiration of God, that he was talking more about than just the nation of Israel, and just not just about personal needs. The psalmist here begins with a cry for mercy. For without God's mercy, where would we be? The forgiveness of sin is always the first link in the chain of mercies that's experienced by us. Mercy is a foundational attribute to our very salvation. In Luke chapter 18, verse 13, in the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, that man that was there to truly worship said, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. God's mercy is him extending to us and not judging us, is not giving us the punishment that we deserve for our sin. Charles Haddon Spurgeon writes, he said, the best saints and the worst sinners may unite in this petition. Well, it's something that God's mercy is needed by all. And it is that David writes this, and he writes it, it's addressed to the God of mercy by those who feel their need of mercy and to those who have not yet experienced it. That's important, because unless you've been to God for the matter of dealing with your salvation, unless you've understood that without God's mercy and His grace in your life, you're headed to an eternity in the fires of hell, you need to get that known and understood. But for the believer, for the Christian, to know and understand about the depth of God's mercy that He has, that He extends upon us from the moment of salvation through every element and every part of our life, it's something that we should indeed treasure, even as David, I believe, was evidencing here. And note here that so much, in my own mind too, I think so much about the Old Testament is just about the Jews. Well, that's certainly not true. Look at this psalm, and as we take it apart a little bit, that throughout this psalm, that the emphasis not just to the Jews, but to all the peoples of God's creation. The Jews had developed that heretical doctrinal teaching that only the Jews would get to heaven to be part of God's family, God's kingdom, and have a heavenly home when they died. But God indeed extends His mercy to all the saved, to all the sinners at salvation, and this goes on through life. Look at the number of times that God uses the psalm writer, under inspiration of God, uses the pronoun us. Okay? God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Who is this? Who's He talking about? Is it just the Jews? Is it just those of David's family? The part of David's nation? Well, I don't think so. As you look and it says, for that reason, that thy way may be known upon earth, the saving health among all nations. Let the people rejoice. This the people says, let the people rejoice, and think he's just talking about the Jews, but if you read it as let the people praise thee, or let all the people praise thee, who's he talking about? He's talking about all people everywhere. He says, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations, all the nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our God, shall bless us. And so the picture here was that God wanted the Jews to know, he wanted to remind them that even though they were the favored people in that he it was to them was committed the oracles of God, that he used them to write and record the Old Testament, that God regarded all souls of men as being precious and his desire to bring blessing to them. Now, what is the one thing that is so important that God wants all the world's people to know about it? Well, that is answered in verse 2. It says, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among all nations. The way that's mentioned there in this first phrase is defined exactly in the following phrase, when it says, thy saving health among all nations. That word carried over, saving health, from the Hebrew means salvation. God wants to bring blessing upon all the earth people, to bring them the knowledge of salvation. You know, when you remember numbers of times you read in the prophets and in the books of the Old Testament, and it talks about the strangers. Who's being? It's talking about non-Jews that came to live and be a part of the nation of Israel. How or why did they come there? Some of them, the Kohathites, they came there because they messed up and God brought them there to serve. But I believe that there were strangers that came out of Egypt because they believed on the God of the Jews. There were some of those that came out of those, out of the Hittites, the Jebusites, and other of those idol-worshiping peoples around Israel that had made the choice to separate themselves because of what they'd heard about the God of the Jews, the true God. God used the Jewish people, the nation, to be visible, vocal, voluntary witnesses for him in the world at that time. When you view Israel, as set along the Mediterranean Sea, to the north, the Assyria, Babylon, the southern parts of Turkey and the Turkey and so on, and the Russian nations today, and the southern south of them was Egypt, and so the great trade routes had been set for centuries, north and south. Where did they have to go? They had to go right through Israel. Sometimes armies came down and whooped up on them. The same route, which wasn't good. But it brought peoples through that nation for a long time. The Queen of Sheba came because she heard about the wonder of Solomon. There was an Ethiopian eunuch came in the time of Christ, after the time of Christ, because he'd heard about the God of the Jews. God has always been reaching out to the world's people to bring them to the matter of salvation. In Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, God stated that all the nations of the earth would be blessed by the Savior he would send one day. If you have your Bible there, you can turn over to Genesis chapter 12. We'll read verses 1 through 3. This is sometimes called, this is the Abrahamic covenant. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will make, that I will show thee, and begin to make some promises to him if he would obey and do this. It said, I'll make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. How will all the families of the earth be blessed? Would be through that God would bring the deliverer, the Savior, through the line of the Jews. And down through time, God has kept his faithful promise, even to the founding of our nation. You know, for the last 200 years, I believe that more missionaries have gone out from our nation than all their other nations combined, taking the gospel. How he's preserved our nation through revolution, through world wars, some of the miraculous things that happened in World War II could only be attributed to me, to God's hand working, that we didn't face annihilation. And God blessed and has blessed in that. And I believe that he is blessing. The only reason that God's judgment hasn't fallen upon our nation for its wickedness is that our nation still is allied closely with Israel. Though past administrations are moving very, very far away from that position. But I personally rejoiced myself when our president recognized Jerusalem as being the capital of Israel. God's going to bless that, because that's where the Lord himself is going to return one day, and he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump's any great man, but he did something right there. Because God said that I will bless them that bless thee. And so for the person that stands next to Israel, you're in a good position, because that's where God wants to bless. And so if you want to receive blessings of God, you need to stand close to him. You need to stand close to him and his word to receive blessing. There in verse 1, he says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. David took another phrase that virtually every Jew knew to illustrate a very important fact. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 through 27, this was given in a kind of a benediction upon the leadership and the nation of Israel. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Just as the sun shining upon the earth is not just a symbol of blessing, but by its actual presence, it brings and sustains life in the earth. So does God smiling down upon his earth. God looking upon this earth, and that he beams down from heaven his divine blessing and pleasure upon all the people of the earth. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and 45, I want to turn over there, see if I can find it here. Matthew chapter 5, God speaks about in these verses about his care and desire for all the world's people, that he's watching out and providing for him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that, or for the reason, you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Well, God does take and bring blessing upon all the world's people, but especially upon those that have been born into his family that he counts as his true children. And in that, God can bring great, great blessing to you and to me. David voiced this plea in Psalm chapter 4, verse 6. He says, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up thy light of thy countenance upon us. And so, we need to know and to remember that God is looking to bring blessing to our life. Not just in the spiritual sense, but he wants us to look to him. He wants us to know him as truly as Lord and Savior, and to remember that the wonderful blessings that he wants to bring us in through having a relationship with him. And we'll look at here in a little bit this matter about how that we're to give blessing back to God. But it says there, again in verse 2, the whole reason, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that they can be a witness to the world for the purpose that thy way, God's way, may be known, thy saving health unto all nations. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we know says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to uswards, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. That was God's will now. That's God's will today. And God wants us, since the nation of Israel fell away from the Lord in knowing and worshiping him, there is witness in this world, but he has raised up the New Testament church to be his visible, vocal, and voluntary witnesses of taking the gospel message to the world's people. And in verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee. Again, this stanza, this refrain is repeated again. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. The desire of God seems to be that as a result of his saving mercy and grace going out into the world, that men would recognize God's goodness to them and voice their thankfulness to him through the whole world. You know, how much time, I ask myself even today, how much time did I give to giving thanks to God and praise to him for what he's done? We forget about the empty tomb. We forget about the cross real quick. But we shouldn't do that. We should be looking to this God that is watching out for us, that is beaming down upon us, blessing after blessing. One of the greatest sins of man was talked about in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. It says, but that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's us, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It's a terrible, terrible sin to not be thankful for the blessings that God has brought to our lives. Psalm 136. Turn over there to Psalm 136. It's an interesting word study that I found there. It says, O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the people, govern the nations upon the earth. And remember, God wants us to recognize and acknowledge the blessings that he's brought to us. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We'll give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. We'll give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever." The term there, give thanks, is the same word as the word praise. Same Hebrew word that we see in the Psalms here. When it says, "Let all the people praise," we should be giving thanks to God. That's what praise is. It's acknowledging God for who he is and what he has done for us, and giving thanks to him for the wonderful works that he's brought in our life. And it says there, "Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy." Well, you know, I'm not much of a singer, but I really enjoy hearing the sweet songs from the different birds that, as they arrive in the spring, it's like last, you know, at break up last spring, I had a big puddle in the yard, and one day a big flock of redpolls came in, and they landed. I was sitting out on my deck, and I was just watching them. A big flock of redpolls came in, and they landed down in the water, and they're taking bird baths, you know. Taking bird baths, and they were singing and singing and singing. It was just marvelous. It was beautiful. And I love watching the birds and the Twitter tweet of the little birds and the strident cries of the geese and the cranes and the swans as they come. It ministers to me, and it reminds me of some wonderful times. I remember once when we were years ago, we were floating the West Fork of the Gulcana, from West Fork Lake down. Nobody goes up in there. Got to fly in there. We're coming down, hunting moose and caribou. There's rafts coming down. One morning, we're out there real early, you know, expecting the moose or the caribou to be right around the next bend. The fog was coming off the water. It was so thick you could barely see to the wall, you know, and you're along real quiet. Then all of a sudden we hear, "Honk! Honk! Honk!" And we look back, and there are three swans coming up behind us, just like bombers in formation. And they flew right over our head, like that high. You could have reached up and poked them in the belly with the paddle. You could see the wings, you know. It was just awesome. We almost came out of our skin, almost ended up in the water. But those things they bring back, you know, that's a good memory. That was it was a beautiful time just to be out and away in God's creation. And it says there, "Let the nations sing for joy." You know, and sometimes I do. I can sing by myself, you know, and nobody hears but me and God, you know, and it's kind of like this radio ad years ago I heard, you know, this guy was talking about just that, about giving thanks and praise to God, and there's this guy singing in the background, and he is just like the way I sing, you know. And then the guy says, you know, "That's maybe it sounds to you, but this is the way it sounds to God." And then brings on George Beverly Shea in that beautiful baritone voice. So, you know, when we should never be ashamed or afraid to sing unto God or to give praise and thanks to him. Because, you know, even like you parents, you know, when your kids, they make some little thing, you know, and they bring it to their mom and dad and they're so proud and happy, and, you know, makes their dad, mom and dad really proud too. Because they've, you know, what the child has done for them. And that little boy, that little girl, to know the favor of their mom and dad, that's a wonderful thing. And it's a wonderful thing for us, you know, that we can come to our God in that way. We can offer up just whatever we have. In whatever measure of worship and praise and thanks. And God is always beaming down upon us. He's always looking down upon us. And God is blessed, I believe, when we pay attention to Him and His Word. And it says there, though, that God, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern nations upon the earth. The Bible says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so God is going to bring judgment upon this earth, but there's going to come a day when He will come to this world and judge righteous judgment. Through most of time, and surely today, government seems to be forced upon people. We're subject to the laws and the interpretation and enforcement of them, right or wrong. And yeah, you know, if you don't like the way a particular government works, you can possibly move to another nation, but you're going to find yourself in a subject to another system that is very flawed. But as I said, one day it won't always be that way. Because one day, the chief shepherd and bishop of our souls is going to come to this world. He's going to rule and reign and judge righteous judgment. Because there never has been a truly righteous nation. Because it's filled of sinful people. But in those last days, God will rule and reign, a perfect government. It's like what's talked about in Isaiah 9, verse 7. We know that in Isaiah 9, 6, talks about Him as a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. You know, I've been involved in the prison ministry for, I don't know, nigh on to 20 years. And I've heard I've met a lot of men. I've seen a lot of things that go on. I've read the stuff in the papers. Our court system isn't about justice. There's criminals that are walking around on the streets that should be locked up, and there's people in jail that belong to be out on the streets because the justice system is not doing its job, because it's filled with imperfect people that don't hold to the standards of this book anymore. If they did, then justice would be better served. There's going to come a day that's spoken of in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord, and His name one. And then to finish up, the last verses 6 and 7, it says, then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. The scripture says that there's coming a time when men that come to know God as their Savior and give Him worship and praise, the end result will be even more blessing. It will be well to remember that the nations that surrounded Israel were given to the practice of idolatry. And again, to remind you, that God had set them in a position where they could be the witnesses for the Lord. And in this day, God has set the New Testament church to be a blessing to this world in bringing the gospel. And when it talks here about that the earth is going to yield her increase, well, you know, the Jews and the people of that time it was more of an agrarian type society, and they depended upon the rain to fall, the sun to shine, that the crops could grow, that the orchards and the fields would bring forth blessing. And God certainly does like and does bless that way. But it's also linked there in verse 7. It says, God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Godly fear begins with having a personal relationship with God. This whole psalm is linked with the idea that the reason that God blesses his people in this world and he brings blessing to those that know him and a part of his family so that we can go out and tell others about the wonderful God of heaven and earth and all that is, so that all the people can give thanks to God and praise him, that all the people and all the nations could have the opportunity to know the blessings of union and fellowship with God. It has brought a curse upon the physical earth and also upon the souls of men, but to those who learn what godly fear is and are born into the family of God, they will know the greatest blessing in this life and on into eternity. And again, the great blessing that God wants to bring into this earth is not just from the fruits of the orchard or from the field, but the gift of salvation. You know, it's like the trees outside and the plants that grow, gonna grow someday, hopefully. They draw their sustenance from the earth through the roots unseen. And that it provides life and growth, prosperity in those plants and trees. And in that same way, for those of us that know God as our Savior, we can draw unseen from God the great blessings of life and salvation, and not just length of life, but quality of life, because God wants to, he always blesses obedience to him and to his word. And so God wants to bring blessings to our life, and we should, as we see them, we should recognize God for it and give thanks to him. And so that's where I'm going to leave it with you tonight and challenge you, you know, if you haven't, that you'd seek to get out there and look for some, what did I do with it? Lost it already. Go out there and look for some nuggets in here and see what you can dig up on your own. They're out there. And they come a lot easier than this does. I'll guarantee you that. Okay.